Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I lift my hands in honor and glory to the King. Blessings
It's good to be in the house of God today and to have an opportunity to magnify his name. Yes. I'm thankful today that that I have that opportunity, that I can magnify the name of the Lord. The song said he's worthy of all that we can give him. He's worthy. We're not just magnifying anybody, but we're magnifying the Lord. And I'm thankful that I have that opportunity. And then to know, like Brother Durham was giving us in Bible study this morning, you know, we're to know in whom we believe. And then we can we can learn and start believing in him and be persuaded. That's what he was telling us. And eventually be committed. You know, we'll be a people that that's going to be... we talk about heaven and reigning with the Lord, and it's going to be a committed people, I'll put it that way. The people that that's going to be reigning with the Lord and living eternally with God is people that's going to be, their lives are going to be committed. You know, how that's going to happen, you know, that we're working on that project. But they're going to be committed. You know, we read the back of the book, so we know that people that's going to follow God, they're going to be people that want to go with him. And the people that love God, you know, we learn, even in a marriage, you might think you love the person you're married to, but you learn to love them. And I think serving God, we learn about him. It might, you know, it's not just the glitter, not just the things that look good, but we learn to love God. And that's what this is all about, and we're learning. We don't want to be ever learning, like Sister Smith told us the other night, but we are learning. We want to eventually learn to love God and to love what he's doing for us, and not just for us, but we're concerned about one another. You know, we're concerned about our brothers and sisters. You know, if I just live for myself, I'm not really living. But if I can live and be concerned with others, and want to see them take part in this, then that's when I begin to live. You know, you're not. I found that out in this life. You know, your greatest blessing is when you're helping someone else. Really, I've just learned that. You know, somebody probably have told me that, but I found out that when you're helping someone else, you know, because you know you're not just doing that for your own benefit. You know, and that's where we should get to, the place where we want to help somebody else. We have that heart to want to reach out and help one another. And, I, you know, the answers to a lot of, you know, the problem, you know, we got people that we voted for and elected in this country. We're blessed to be in a country like this. But without God, as a man said that, you know, when they you know, they wondered about all the shootings that's going on in the schools. And they said, well, he said, I'm not surprised. They took God out, they took prayer out, then you know, what, man can't control himself. Man can't manage his own affairs. He needs God. Yeah. And that's what he was saying. He's not surprised. Of course, they didn't like him saying that, but it's going to take God. We can't pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. You know, we just can't do it. I'm sorry, but we just can't do it. So we need to lean on God. Somehow we need to learn to lean on God. We need to include God in our life. Yeah. You know, we can't do this. I'm just sorry. We just can't do it. I've learned that. I mean, it just over life, the time that I've lived, I just found out that I need God. And when I begin to call on God and have some time with God, some devotional time, that my day go better. You know, I sometimes at the end of the day, and you say, well, did you do anything? You talk to God, or did you read your Bible? Did you do anything? You feel like, man, I don't know. I seem like I hadn't done anything today. But I believe when you begin to include God in your life, then everything goes better. You know, everything goes better. So I'm thankful today we're here to worship God in his house. And we got company, and we're glad for them. Curtis and Jamie Combs, I think they've been here before. Is that right? Good to have them here today. God bless you. And Brother Tom Boyd, Brother Boyd's brother, he's been here before, but we're glad that he's here today, and I think he's kind of hit. I mean, he's, I don't know if he's settled, but he's settling. in this area. So anyway, I pray that God will keep his hand on him and help him. And all right, of course, I got my daughter and my sister-in-law, my wife's sister, here with us today. And then Brayla is my wife's niece, all right? Niece, her other sister's daughter. So anyway, good to have them here today. God bless you. And Jasmine is my next door neighbor. I don't ever see her. Only time I see Jasmine when she comes to church. But anyway, she lives next door to us, and good to have her here today. And, and Sister Ann, Sedona's sister, good to have her today. Bless you. All right. God is good to us. Anybody else? Did we miss anybody? And then I know they're back. Scotty and Brother Josh is back. Good to have them back home. And then, and I know these grandkids here, Jordan and Kayla and Noah. Okay, Noah. All right, good to have them here. They've been here several times, but it's good to have them. They're growing. Sisters, brother and sister Stewart, they're regular, but they're not. We don't see them as much as we like to, put it that way. But anyway, God is good to us. Did we miss anybody? God is good to have we're blessed to have God's people with us, and we do have people. Of course, everybody, I don't know if everybody knows, but we lost one of our saints Friday, I think, Sister Wilkins, and really sad to see her go, but we know she's not suffering. And remember her family. She's got four boys, and remember them. And I know they're working on arrangements and all that, so it's remember that family. And I'm trying to think. Several out of town. I don't know who all it is.
There it is. Brother Brett, Sister Joanne, and Alex is in Macomb, visiting the Macomb Church today, and Sister Lynette and Rachel, and I think Brandon and Zach are in the New Coin Youth Meeting. Brother Doug and Sister Yvonne York are visiting in Oklahoma. Sister Yvonne's brother he's been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and he's really, it seemed to be working very rapid. They're down there with him and visiting their family. Of course, her other brother, Leslie, still recovering from colon cancer, so they're gone this week. Sister Cindy's sick. Who else is gone? Sister Joyce is here, but she's still sick. She's downstairs. Yes, Brother Phil Fisher's. He's visiting in Dallas. He's in Dallas this week, so he's in the Dallas church today. So we've got several out, but we've got several that came in to take up the slack. We appreciate that. Sister George's, and I just got back from the Fort Lauderdale, Florida ministers meeting, and God really touched George's in that service Thursday night, she's had two strokes, and she's still suffering and having physical therapy, but she is able to walk she's still crippled on her right leg and and on her right side, her hand's not really functioning properly, but she still can talk, and she's trusting God, so keep her in your prayers. And also Brother David Angelo, let's keep remembering him. Who?
Sister Elsie.
Yes, Sister Elsie. She's home. She's recovering. And her daughter, Brenda. I guess Brenda's still here, isn't she? All right, so remember her.
Sister Donna's son, Mike. Sister Linda.
Yeah.
Who that?
He already did.
Okay. Remember Brother Ray?
Well, the time yeah. Go ahead and mention, since I'm giving these reports, Sister Wilkins, is the arrangements for her funeral. It will be here in the church, but they don't have a definite. They're to meet with the funeral home director this afternoon, but they're thinking and hoping that they can get it arranged for this coming Friday. Her son from Virginia can't get here before Friday, so they're going to try to have it sometime Friday, and they'll let us know, and as soon as they do, we'll let you know. Her son, Phil, that lived with her, he said it'd just be more than he could keep up with for people to try to bring food over to the house, and the other family members, you know, live here. And so, but some have mentioned that maybe, you know, different ones might want to get like a restaurant gift card from like Cracker Barrel or McDonald's or wherever far field to just, you know, maybe help him out this week while he's trying to get everything done. So if you want to do that, we'll see Sister Fisher. She'll kind of keep up with it. We don't need to get him 40 gift cards, but a few would be nice. So she'll keep up with that and let you know if we can still use some for him. All right.
All right. Any other prayer requests?
Sister Shirley Bailey had an accident this week.
That's right. Sister Shirley Bailey. All right. Any other prayer requests? Just remember God's people. So the usher will come forward. We'll do the offering. Let's all stand and ask God to help his people and to remember the needs of each one today, Lord.
Amen, amen.
Come before you this day, Lord. Thank you. Heaven is in Jesus. Reach out to you, Lord. Pray that you help
me.
Lord, help me. Bring comfort to those that need comfort.
Your precious
Lord, continue to recover
situation.
Touch each.
These
that
are sick
in your mind.
Hallelujah.
Touch
them. Watch your soul. Praise you. Glory, glory.
Amen. Those that are traveling, visiting churches today.
Young people. Yes. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus. Blessed be your holy name.
Sunshine.
The Lord sent rain when I thought I needed a healing, that I'd had my share of pain. Well, I thought I needed a blessing. Well, the good Lord sent a trial. Well, now I know just what it's like to suffer.
praise the Lord. I'm thankful today to be home, number one, then to be in the house of the Lord and feel His presence here. Isn't it just, you know, to feel the Lord's touch just makes all the difference in the world. It can change everything. Just a touch from God can change your whole outlook and cause you to realize that there is no other place to go. And I know that sometimes the walk with God is difficult, but I can tell you this, the walk without Him is more difficult. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll cost you to pay more than you ever wanted to pay. And keep you there longer than you want to stay. That's right. We really do appreciate everyone that's here today. We got Brother Curtis and Sister Jamie's names, but we didn't get this little fellow there sitting between them's name. Daniel. All right, Daniel, we want you to know we're glad you're here too. Yep. Good to have him. I didn't mean to embarrass him, but he's such a handsome little guy. I just thought we ought to find out what his name was. Sister, there's a little, I don't know if I'll find a taker or not, but I've got a little wristband, kind of a bracelet-looking thing here. If anybody... Brooklyn's looking, but she's not claiming any. She'd like to, but she knows it's not hers. And, huh? Oh, all right. There you go. All right. See. She saw somebody else was maybe gonna lay claim on that. Boy, she got busy, didn't she? Well, I was home. I was in the Fort Lauderdale, Florida meeting. I flew down there Monday morning early and was in the meeting this week. we had a good minister's meeting and discussed 7th and 14th chapters of the book of Revelation, and this ministry is trying to locate the understanding of the truth of God's Word and what's in the future for God's people. Of course, we would like to know for ourselves, but we know it's important that we get those answers for you. And then the last day of the minister's meeting, we did discuss whether or not you can overcome sin to the point that there's no more temptation in this body, earthly vessel. That was interesting. And there's a Word of God is such a magnificent book. It contains the history of God's dealing with man, His creation, and His purpose for creating man, the history and the events of God working with man in His purpose to have a family that has everlasting life. But finally, the ultimate purpose of God is to have a family that is like him and that finally has overcome sin. that's a big project. God undertook a big project. And he's still working on it today. That he created all of this. I don't even know how many galaxies there are in space, the universe. I don't know. I'm not a real avid student of the entire makeup of everything in space, but I do know that all of it, God created it all for you and for me, but the only way you and I can really embrace it is to realize that it was for me. Everybody say me. Well, God wants you to understand he had you in mind. He said that the creature was made subject to vanity. Not willingly. You didn't have anything to do with it. It wasn't your will. God didn't consult anybody. He just made this creation, and you and I are part of it. In fact, we're the ultimate part. Not willingly, not because you had a will in it, but by reason of hope. I'm not sure you couldn't include God in on that. I think God hopes that you'll make it. The Bible says it's not his will that any should perish. Of course, I think he knows all things, but I know that hope's put there really for you and I. I came into this world... And it's just exactly like the psalmist said, I was just a few days and full of trouble. It wasn't very long that I was a little fella running around on this earth that I already found that there was trouble inside of me. Mama would tell me no, and I had a will to do it anyway. And she would swat my little hand. And my bottom a few times, more than I want to tell you about. In fact, more than I can remember. And Dad got in on it. That was more unpleasant, by far more. But I found I was like the Apostle Paul said in the 7th chapter of Romans, that when I would, the things that I would do, I did not. I would not. And the things that I would, the things that I would not, I did. So I found that there was a warfare going on inside of me. I think most people, in fact, I'm not sure that all people at some point want to do right. They want to do good. I do think you can reach a point in sin, in the nature of sin, that there's some people I think have reached that point that they're thinking evil continually. They don't have any, they can't measure right and wrong. They have no conscience of that, you know, troubles them when they do wrong. But I think God just, it's part of the grace of God that goes with the creation that causes you to have some measure of his grace. You know, Paul said in the book of Romans that you're without excuse, that the things made how did he say it? That the he said that the creation, huh? Yeah, the invisible things of God are plainly seen or clearly seen by the things that were made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So the invisible things of God, you can see right and wrong in creation. You know, and God made us in his image. You know, somebody sent me a message, said, how do we know that we're being led of God or that we're doing the right thing? Sometimes it's easier to know when you miss God because he may chastise you. Of course, I think sometimes it's hard to know if you're missing God or not. That's why I'm so thankful for these saints like Sister Wilkins that got it settled in their mind years ago that I'm going to serve God. I'm going to stay with his people. She dates back even before Brother Tucker. Brother Neptune, I think, was her first contact to the body of Christ. And she's been on the job all these years. I'd say it's probably around 50 years, maybe more. More. And then we've got Sister, Brother and Sister Crow here that are pillars that represent those that make up their mind, get settled, stay on the job, and serve him, and have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You want to make it. You want to get through this life, and I don't want to serve him in vain. I want to get through this life, and it takes an gaining understanding. Knowledge. The knowledge of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of understanding. You've got to gain a knowledge about God. That's why it's important for God to get you in a church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. God, he'll put you in an assembly, put you under a ministry. And if you'll get the vision of understanding that, you'll be faithful. The house of God, then you'll get information, you'll get knowledge. God will help you on your journey. Lord, we all know that man fell, and God's in the original creation, that Adam did fall, and in Adam all die. The sins of one man. Death came on all. But when in the fullness of time, God sent his son. And he came here and brought the fullness of God's understanding in the end of the Jewish world. Because it was finally, after 4,000 years, God had finally got man ready, at least a remnant, ready to receive his fullness that could inherit eternal life. And the Bible said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. But you know, God's pleased when a saint is someone that's faithful. Someone that's holy. Someone that has been upright and just. Wise. And have stayed on the job. Seeking and searching for God's will. The Bible said the steps of a good man is ordered of the Lord. Well, you'd have to identify good in the Bible, but it's just. It's being righteous. That's another synonym of all of those words that I'm using. So the Lord is, he will direct your steps. In fact, I'm convinced he directs them sometimes without our knowing. The 139th Psalm, I think, if you want to just look at a little bit of it, I think is proof of that. He says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. God knows, just like this song Sister Pryor was singing, he knows how to make us get on our knees. He knows what'll put us, what'll humble us and what'll lift us up. Thou compasseth my path and my line down and art acquainted with all my ways. God knows. He knows. He created us. He knows what's in man. He can watch. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, the Bible says. God can watch your spirit, know what you're thinking, understand your ways. And what's amazing to me is he's so merciful, so long-suffering. The more you serve him, the more mercy and compassion you'll have for others, because you'll finally say, I don't know why God put up with me. I don't know why he's been so merciful to me. I failed him so many times. I don't mean that you have to backslide or go out away from God, but you just have these thoughts, things that come into your mind that at some point or other in your walking with God, you'll realize those thoughts weren't right. Those weren't good thoughts. God don't want me thinking like that. For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. He goes ahead of you and he goes behind you. He sets roadblocks up in front of you for detours, and you get in a certain place and you may want to go back. Decide I'm not going to go this way. But when you try to go back, God's fixed it where you can't go back. The psalmist said, this wisdom is too high for me. I'm talking about people that God's children, people that God's been able to touch and get a hold of their lives. I don't think that he deals with everybody exactly that way, but he would like to. I do feel like God, he wants to be God of our whole being. If we can grow to a place where he really has the reins of our life, and then in all of that, he really wants you to mature to the place where he don't necessarily have to have the reins to say gee or haw. If you don't know what that means, G means go to the right. Haw means go to the left. Those are old terms for back in the wagon days before cars. Now you've got a steering wheel, but used to you had reins. And to get a horse, my little grandfather, Papa Wilkin, he had a wagon and a team of horses. And I've been with him many times. And I've seen him go through tight places with a wagon and a team of horses. And he wouldn't use the reins much. Those horses knew his commands. I can still hear him today say, haw a little, haw a little. Those horses knew what that meant. Just get over to the left just a little. Just move over a little bit. Gee now, gee, that's what he'd say. Those horses would go to the right a little. And of course, when we headed home, he didn't have to say nothing. They knew the way, all the way, when to turn right, left, and go straight. You just turn them loose. When you headed them and they knew the day was over, they'd go home on their own. All you had to do is hang on in the wagon. Well, God, we need to get close enough to him that when he says, haw a little, that you'll know to turn a little bit. You're not quite going the way God wants you to go. Gee, now, go the other way. You're not quite going the right direction. And the Lord wants to have that kind of relationship with you and I. He wants us to know his will. When Jesus, that was one of the things and that we discussed at the meeting, when Jesus was in the garden and he was in his last hours, we've used, and I've heard several preachers talk about Jesus, you know, suffering those last moments to overcome sin. That he didn't want to die. He didn't want to go through it. And he was sweating great drops of blood. And he said, Lord, if this cup could pass from me, he still wanted to get out of it. I leaned over. I was sitting next to Brother Dowell. And I said, Brother Dowell, could we consider that he wasn't tempted at all, but that he was just saying to the Father, Lord, if there was another way to save mankind, if there's any other way we could do it, but I know there's not. I know this is your will. It's not my will, but it's your will. And I'm not sweating drops of blood because I don't want to do it. I'm sweating drops of blood because the burden of the sins of this world is on me. And I feel it. I'm burdened down with man's sins. I feel the pressure that they go through, and I know what sin can do to someone's life. I've seen the destruction of it. I'm feeling it. Oh God, what a moment. Our Savior went through when he was on the cross and cried out, "It is finished." That was a declaration of victory. I have finished what God sent me here to do and accomplished deliverance for every man that'll look to me. And that's important for all of us at some point to realize. Let me get back to 139, Psalms 139. 7, where he said, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. You'll find that if you're a child of God, you'll find that you can't get away from him. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. You're his child. He loves you. He has a responsibility and he will not shun it. He won't force you. He'll be right there when you say, yes, Lord. I know that because there's been times that I it's been a lot of years, you know, since I just left God. A few times in my younger age, I just said, I can't do this. You know why I said that? I didn't have enough understanding of how to do it. It didn't make enough sense to me. That's something very important for every child of God to understand, that the New Testament church that you read about was a church in the end of a world that God had been dealing with Jewish people for 2,000 years, and they were ready for what God brought to them. And we, Gentiles, we've come through a falling away and the dark ages of the Gentiles. It's taken God 2,000 years, and we're not there yet to bring us to where we're at to harvest the end of this world. There's a harvest coming in the end of this world. We don't have what the early church had yet, but it's coming according to Scripture, and I believe what the Word of God says, it's coming. I see it. I've got a witness of it of the Holy Ghost, and I've got a witness of it of the Word of God. And the Lord He's going to harvest this world. The end of this world, there'll be a harvest. So you have to stay close to Him through your whole walk. And it doesn't matter those that have passed off the scene, like Sister Wilkins. She, in her last hours, I was going to tell you that I, when I made my arrangements to fly to Fort Lauderdale, I got on the computer and I was putting in, you know, to purchase my tickets, and my computer wouldn't take it. And I tried it 3 or 4 times and I never could get the tickets bought. Finally, I just got on the phone and called the airlines and told them the trouble I was having. And so they tried to walk me through it on the computer and we still couldn't get it done. Finally, the agent said, "Look, let me just book this for you." I said, "Okay, do it." So they said, "Now, what flight is it you want out Monday morning?" I told them. They said, "Now, what about the return flight?" I said, "I want that 5:45 flight," because I knew the meeting was over Friday about 2 or 3 o'clock. So I knew I needed to be at the airport. Probably couldn't get there any earlier than 4, so I thought 5:45, just right. I'd get home like 10-something Friday night. Well, Thursday night after service, I talked in the meeting Thursday night, and we didn't quite get enough offering to cover the meeting, so I got elected to take the offering, so that gave me an excuse to just go ahead and talk a little bit. You know, it's hard for a preacher. Preacher's got a crowd, he's going to talk. He's going to preach. So after service, I was on my way home. I called Sister Smith. She said, "What time will you be in tomorrow night?" I said, "I don't know, 10-something. I said, "I'll check it when we hang up, and I'll text you what time I'll be in." So when we hung up, I looked on my phone, you know, my iPhone, you know, one that everybody needs. Anyway, so I will yield to the fact that there are some androids out there that will help you almost as much. And anyway, so I looked at that to see what time my flight would be in. And I also thought, I want to make sure it's leaving at 5:45. When I looked at it, it said, "Departs Friday at 5:45 a.m. And I got on their website when I got back to my motel room, and I thought, "What's going on here? I can't do this. I can't leave here at 5:45 in the morning. I have to be at the airport at 4. And we still have another day of the meeting, but sure enough, they had a 5:45 a.m. departure and a 5:45 p.m. departure. And when I told them 5:45, they put me down for the a.m. departure. And it cost $150 to change that. But I was going to call them and see what I could do. But about midnight, Brother Brett texted me and said, Sister Wilkins has taken a change for the worse. And they're trying to get a hold of her family concerning life support. And when I got that text, I thought, I'm going home. It was almost 1 o'clock in the morning, so I packed everything up and laid down for a few minutes and set my alarm for 3 and got up and got a taxi to come get me and take me to the airport. And so I got here in time to go there to the hospital and see Sister Wilkins before she passed away. In fact, after I left the hospital, they texted me about 45 minutes or 50 minutes later and said she's passed. So I was so thankful I got to see her and pray for her before she passed away. But she she's a good representative of those that are faithful and serve God in their generation. It really doesn't matter when, you know, you die, as long as you die in the Lord and you serve Him in your generation, you can be certain that He will be faithful. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. If you're a saint when you die, you can be assured that God has got you in His secure place, in the pavilion of the Lord. Sister, I thought it was good. Brother Brett Weiniger went to see her Thursday, and she told him, she said, I want to go get out of here and go home, because she knew she was going to die the day she went in there. Sister Smith and I went up there to see her, and she told us, she said, I've been thinking about passing away. And Brother Smith, I want you to know that I've made everything right that I know how to make right. And Brother Al, she was on her deathbed praying for Elsie. Every time we'd talk to her, she'd ask about her, and she'd say, I've been praying for her. But she told Brother Brett Thursday, she said, I'd like to get out of here and go home. He said, why are you wanting to go home? She said, I want to write some things down that I want done at my funeral. And he said, well, Sister Wilkins, there's some paper right here, and I've got a pen. Why don't you just tell me and I'll write them down for you? So she gave him instructions. She gave him 2 songs and 2 scriptures. And one of them was that she would be safe in the pavilion of God. And she, which just means His tabernacle. And so she knew when he left, she said, I'll see you over there. And but God's a faithful God. And if you're His child, He'll do everything He can. You're not guaranteed to be saved just because you become a child of God. But you are guaranteed to be saved if you'll stay a child of God and you'll stay just and righteous. To all you know. And this life is a process of learning how to be like Him. Learning how for Him to appear in your life. There's two, you know, when you come to know the Lord, you've been born of Adam. Every one of us has been born of the fallen nature of Adam. That's why you must be born again. And when you're born again of God, you don't get rid of Adam completely right there. But you do get a new birth and a new nature. And it takes time to move over into it. I've been using this explanation to try to get it in people's understanding that, and I think it makes good sense, I think it's biblical, your mind is the vehicle of your very soul or being. In other words, you've got an earthly house, this body, but it can't do anything if it don't have a mind to tell it what to do. And all what's in your mind is what your behavior is manifest. It's the manifestation of your thinking. That's how God can watch your spirit. He can see what you're doing. I told a man one time, he told me, he said, I want to repent to you. I said, you're not repenting. I said, you're just saying I'm sorry. I said, but that's not a godly sorrow. I said, you meant exactly what you said and your actions prove it. You're still proving it with your actions. You're not sorry. You just want to fix things up so we don't have any ruffles between us. And I said, I can't accept that until you really get to a place that you see what you did is wrong and that you fix it. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. I said, I still love you, and I don't want to make it hard on you, but I don't want you believing a lie and being damned either. I said, you know, I'm subject to the same principles. That I can't change until God helps me change. God's got to help me find that godly sorrow. That's why I was saying this morning that there's nothing better than for God to touch you. For God to, when He touches me, I can't remember any time God touches me, it humbles me. It humbles me. I don't care if it's a touch for rejoicing, I still get humbled in it. You know, that God would touch me. I just think that's marvelous. Don't y'all? I mean, did you feel God's Spirit here today? That's marvelous that God would touch you and let you feel His genuine Spirit, His presence. He'll let you feel that. There's people that can't feel it. There's people that can't get here to feel it. Never felt it. I know you might find that hard to believe, but let me tell you, you are highly blessed if you can feel God. If God can touch you. Let me tell you, His purpose for touching you is because of His love and His mercy and His desire to help you and reconcile you back to Him. So your mind is it's the vehicle that causes you to get around. It's like when you get in the car and start it up. When you wake up in the morning, you've started up. And you're fixing the motor around today. You know, you're going to get around. Your mind will help you do that. Here's the problem, is it's carnal. That's why you're just a few days and full of trouble. You're in an environment that's got sin in it. You're in an environment that, and you're also in a nature that, you know, little bitty children. I don't know, Daniel, did you say his name was Daniel? I'm sure he's just like every little boy. You know, somewhere or another, every mama said he's an old boy. That's because he's a little booger. You know, you don't have to teach them to lie. You don't have to teach them to disobey you. They'll just automatically figure it out on their own. But God has to help us. The Lord has to come into our lives and begin to work righteousness in us and reconcile us back to Him. And the way He does that is through your mind. You've got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God has to get a hold of your mind. And He's got to transform your thinking. He's got to get you to thinking like Him. And that's why it takes these touches. I don't like it if I find out I wasn't here and y'all got touched and I didn't get the touch. Because I need every touch I can get. I tell people, when the Spirit of God's moving, get down here and get in it. You need it. You need that tenderness of the Spirit of God to touch you. Jesus said, they that worship, the true worshipers, must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You've got to, it takes the Spirit of God. It's like water and food. You can't live without food, but you can't live without water either. It takes the water. It takes God touching. You'd never know if the food was what you needed if the Spirit didn't touch you and help you to know it's right. That's what I needed. What God gave me, I needed it. And then for God to touch you, to bear witness that He's real, that He's alive, and that He is the Creator. And that's why it's a process to learn God's will, learn how to be led by the Spirit. And I don't think you can get to a place that you don't need Him leading you anymore. I was going to say earlier, He does want you to grow to a place where He can hand you the reins and say, you can drive this thing. You know how. You'd do everything just like I do. When Jesus told His disciples, when they said, "Show us the Father," and He said, "When you've seen me, you've seen Him." He didn't mean I am Him. He meant, I have got to a place where I know how He thinks. I know what He wants. I know His will. I've learned the Word of God. I know how the Spirit of God works. And I've learned to know when I'm walking in His will and when I'm going a little bit wrong. I've learned how to make adjustments because I think like He thinks. By the way, there just wouldn't be much temptation. I just can't see you be tempted to doing wrong when you think like God. And when you learn to abide, when you learn how to abide in Him, when you abide in Him, you can ask what you will. Did you ever think about that? When you're asking God for things and it don't happen, He don't give you what you're asking for? But if you abide in Him, you can ask what you will and it shall be. That's because when you're abiding in Him, you know not to ask for something that He don't want you to have. But you have to mature and grow in God to get to a place like that. Jesus got there, and He had disciples that got there. He told Peter, He said, "Peter, when you were young, you girded yourself and you went where thou wouldest, or where you would not." And then what He said, "But when you're old," He said, "another will gird you." God, yeah, there He'll take you where you would not. Yeah, where the old nature wouldn't want to go. But when you're girded of God, when God finally gets you to a place of maturity, you'll go where you normally wouldn't go in this, you know, in the flesh or in the old man. You wouldn't do that. But when you move over into Him, you'll do things that a man wouldn't do. But it'd be because you understand that you're walking in God's will. And so, I felt God here today dealing with lives, telling people, keep serving me. Come back and serve me. Hold on to me. Lean on me. I'll give you understanding. I'll give you direction. Let me tell you something else I felt today. I felt you're not anybody in this place, in a place where you can't make it. You know, sin can get a hold of a life to a point that a person can get to thinking there's no sense in me trying. I'm telling you something, there's a God in heaven that can lift you up out of the pit. I'm telling you, there's a God. He's a healer of broken wings today. He can absolutely take Humpty Dumpty and put him all back together again. All the king's horses and all the king's men might not can get it done, Brother Daniels, but there's a God in heaven that can fix anything that's broken. If he's just given enough opportunity and enough chance, you haven't went too far. God hasn't finished manifesting himself in all his power and might and glory. And there's still time and opportunity. I don't care who you are, how old you are. There's enough power in God to lift you all the way up out of the muck and the mire of sin and in the things of this world that's held you in prison. There's a God that'll deliver you and set you free and put you in a place that you've never been before. Hallelujah. He's more than able. Just keep saying yes. You might have to say, God, I don't know how, but yes is my answer. I'll keep coming. I'll keep holding on. I'll keep making myself serve you. I'll tell you, you'll get to a place where it won't be so hard to do. In fact, you'll get to a place where it's not a drudgery. See, it shouldn't be. When you first come to God, and you know, until you get settled, I've been working on that. Until you get settled, it's a struggle. It's a struggle to get out of the world and to get out of the life of sin and get transferred over into the things of God. Mr. Donna, I think you've made that. I think you got it settled. Yeah, you know, I'm telling you, that's a marvelous thing. It's a miracle that God can help you get out of the clutches and the prison of sin and get you in a place where he's got your feet on a rock. And it's not hard to serve him. In fact, you want to go. And then things begin to develop. You know, you'll still go through trials, but it ain't going to be going back into the world and doing the things that, you know, how did Paul say it to the church in Ephesus? That you run not, maybe that was Peter that said that you run not to the excess of riding with your buddies in the world anymore. They think something's wrong with you because you won't go with them anymore. You won't do those things anymore. You checked out. Pretty hard to do it first. You come up here and you come to the altar, but tomorrow morning you go back to where you've been. There's all your friends. Come on. Let's keep doing what we've been doing. It's hard to say, I ain't doing that no more. I say, what? You know, and they put pressure on you. Brother Dave, when he first came to church, you made it past that, Brother Dave. They ain't bugging you anymore about it, are they? But they was giving him a hard time because he smoked, and he'd quit smoking. And they was giving him a hard time because all of his family that wasn't coming to church, they was smoking. They was persecuting him because he quit and making fun of him. Man, they're making it hard on him. I told him, I said, just tell him, Brother Dave. Just say, look, you know, if he'd break down and smoke, then they'd ridicule him for that. See, you can't quit. I told him, I said, just tell him to come show you how to do it. Just say, hey, look, I'm trying, and I ain't going to quit trying. I said, look, if I ain't doing this to suit y'all, why don't y'all come get in church with me and show me how? I said, they'll leave you alone. Just keep telling them that. They'll drop that after a while. Anyway, you do have to get settled, but there's a, you know, you'll keep getting touches. Finally, it gets off of your struggle is not wanting to sin or go back into the world, but your struggle is, how do I get some of these things that I know that's in my mind? How do I get to where I can please God more? And I know I'm doing His will. Well, it just takes keep walking. Keep serving Him. It's here a little and there a little. It's line upon line. It's precept upon precept. He'll just keep helping you. You'll get more of the understanding of the Word of God. And your mind just keeps changing. Finally, you'll say, let this mind be in you. You'll tell others, there's a mind that can be in you that's not like the world. It's not like the things of the world, but it's like Jesus. He got the mind of His Father. And He transferred. He came to make restitution for the sins of mankind. And He included me. He said I could go. And He's been changing me ever since I said yes. And I just keep getting more of His mind. And I'm just getting to knowing more and more what pleases Him. And I'm finding out it pleases me. It's right. The Bible calls it righteousness. Because it's just right. It's just doing the right thing every time. See, that takes time. That's one of the things you got to understand. Until you get there, God has imputed righteousness. There's a place in the Bible where white robes were given to those saints under the altar. Righteousness was imputed. You come to the altar, God imputes righteousness because you had faith enough to say, I will, Lord. But you're not righteous. You're just righteous as much as you can exercise the faith to do what you know to do is right and keep repenting. If any man sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. He imputes righteousness to you. He counts you righteous and calls you His child. But if you'll keep serving Him, you'll finally grow up into a place of maturity the Bible calls perfection. That you won't have to have righteousness imputed. You'll think like Him. You'll do what He would do. When you've seen, you'll say, when you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. I know that sounds almost blasphemous, but it's biblical. We're to be like Him. Let me read you a scripture and I'll sit down. I know you didn't think I was going to, but I'm going to anyway. I'm going to read this scripture to you and I'm going to finish up right here. In 1 John, the 2nd chapter and the 6th verse. He that saith he abideth in Him. This is a good scripture. Ought himself also so to walk even as He walked. See, I just have to tell you, I'm not fully abiding in Him, but Brother Talley, I'm abiding as much as I know how. I'm trying to abide in Him, but I miss it sometimes. But I've set my face like a flint. I've made up my mind. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to keep following Him. I'm going to keep asking Him, keep imputing righteousness to me until I get to the place it no longer needs imputed. Because I want to abide in You and I want to walk even as You walked. And that's my prayer. It's my goal. I believe it's going to be available to me. If not available right now, if I die before I get there, you keep striving for it. Because I'll be back. And I'm going to need somebody to show me the rest of the way. There's a resurrection of the just, and I plan to be in it. I'm going to serve Him in my generation. I'm going to be faithful by the grace of God. God help me to be faithful and just and righteous. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You feel like you've been to church today? Amen. All right. Well, we're gonna come back at 5 o'clock and have an evening service here and see what the Lord has for us. Why don't we all stand? Just give Him a praise before we go home. Thank Him for His goodness and His touch here today. I could sit down, we could have a song, but it's time to go eat something and then come back. Hallelujah. Brother and Sister Combs, I hope y'all come back. Y'all just look like to me you belong here with us. We need you in the family. We're looking to add to the family. We need help. Brother Joe, we've been praying for you. We hear you got a job. Brother Tom, I mean, I don't know why he's got a cousin named Joe, and I used to get them mixed up. I know them different. I know their names, but I can't get my mouth to say it. Brother Tom Boyd, Brother Mark's brother, he's got a job here. I hope he'll come. I'm telling you, these Boyd boys, they got two things that's been ingrained in their life. One is woodworking. I mean, they're geniuses with wood. Yeah, they can just take a piece of hunk of wood and just make something beautiful out of it in just a little while. It's in their blood. Some way or another, it's genetic. Working with wood. Another thing they've got planted deep in their lives is the things of God. I know their background. I know their daddies, and their families, their people that God has been working on for many, many years. They belong to the family of God. So we're glad you're here, Brother Tom. I want you to keep coming. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, God, for your goodness to us. For your great touch on our lives. Oh, God. God, go with your people. Touch them. Direct them. Help them, oh, God, as only you can do. Lead us and guide us and direct us in your steps, oh, God, your will. Hallelujah. Bless your people, oh, God. Help us, oh, God, as we endeavor to serve you. Help us to get closer to you. Oh, Lamb of God. Help us, oh God, to get closer to you this year. Amen, amen, amen.